Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 50 this evening. Genesis chapter 50. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house tonight, and I trust that as we look into God's Word now, it will be an encouragement for you and a challenge. And I trust that each of us will just open our hearts to what the Lord has for us this evening. On numerous occasions, the blessing of heaven and the providential protection of God was evident in the formation of this country. One such occasion was when the well-trained British Army had completely blocked any land route Washington and the colonial army had to escape from Long Island. With the British positioned on one side, the mile-wide East River loomed on the other. To fight the larger army of the British would bring certain defeat. Surrender was unthinkable. The only option was to retreat. But how? The American army could have easily been surrounded by the British, but providential adverse weather conditions kept the British ships from sailing up the East River. As a result, the American army was able to make an attempt to escape. To make sure the British did not discover their retreat, Washington set out to evacuate his army in great secrecy. He set orders for every rowboat, sailboat, and seagoing vessel to be collected in the area. At 8 p.m. on the night of August 29th, 1776, the evacuation of the troops commenced. Heavy rain was falling as the evacuation began, and the adverse winds which hindered the British ships continued. In this weather, the sailboats were of little use, and only few rowboats were employed in the retreat. At this rate, evacuation seemed impossible. But at 11 p.m., the northeast wind, which had raged for 3 days, amazingly stopped, and the water became so calm that the boats could be loaded with extra weight. A gentle breeze arose from the south and southwest, which favored their travel across the river to New York. The retreat continued throughout the darkness of the pre-dawn, but as the sun began to rise, many troops were yet to be evacuated. Their death seemed apparent, but again an astonishing thing occurred. Major Benjamin Talmadge was still on the island, and he recorded what happened in his memoirs. After dawn of the next day approached, those of us who remained in the trenches became very anxious for our own safety, and when the dawn appeared, there were several regiments here on duty. At this time, a very dense fog began to rise out of the ground and over the river. It seemed to settle in a peculiar manner over both encampments. I recollect this peculiar providential occurrence perfectly well. And so very dense was the atmosphere that I could scarcely discern a man 6 yards distance. We tarried until the sun had risen, but the fog remained as dense as ever. The fog remained until the last boats left Long Island. The precarious Continental Army was preserved that day by the providential hand of God. The Revolutionary War would continue, and with it, ultimate American victory. Without a few hundred soldiers, a lack of wind, and some heavy fog, there may have never been a United States of America. The life of Joseph is a remarkable demonstration as well of the providence of God. Here at the end of the book of Genesis, we see revealed to us the infinite wisdom of God and His providential working to use the events of Joseph's life for His purpose. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. It says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." We'll look a little bit more at Joseph's life here in a moment, but what is the providence of God? What is the providence of God? We have here two examples tonight that clearly demonstrate the providence of God. Well, providence is really the idea of the protective care of God. the protective care of God. And this is a little bit different than the sovereignty of God. This is specifically focusing on the protective care of God. The protective care of God experienced in the working together of circumstances and events of life to accomplish His plan in one's life. So the providence of God is that idea of His protective care. And we could all look into our life and talk about times where we've seen God providentially care for us, protect us, and do things that protected us from going the wrong way or from certain events or circumstances. So we'll see in a moment how the protective care of God worked together all the events of Joseph's life for an amazing purpose. And when you stand back and look here at Joseph's life, and you see God had this master plan designed for his life. In every event, every circumstance that God brought and or allowed into Joseph's life was all accomplishing the plan that God had for him. May it remind each of us tonight as God's people that God has a plan and purpose for your life. We can look at the storm, we can look at everything surrounding us and think it's out of control. But God has a plan. He has a purpose. And Joseph's, may his life, Joseph's life tonight, just be a reminder to us tonight that God is in control. And God is able to take the good and the bad and use them to accomplish something marvelous, something amazing in our lives. As we think of the providence or protective care of God, let's examine the events of Joseph's life and see the hand of God working everything together. We won't take too long looking at these, but I want us to note some of the highlights of Joseph's life, and some of them we've looked at in depth. But tonight, let's be reminded of the two dreams that Joseph had. Those dreams were of Joseph foretelling his lifted up position. God gave him these visions and he realized God was doing something great. He had a plan. And obviously these dreams of him being lifted up were the source of his brethren being angered with him and angered and invoked that anger. But we see here God giving these dreams to Joseph. And that ultimately led to Joseph being sold, and that anger and hatred that the brethren had to Joseph led to them selling him and getting him out of the land. Thought they were getting rid of him. And Joseph was sold by his brothers to merchants and taken to Egypt. And that's in Genesis chapter 37. And just think about that, to Egypt, of all places, off to Egypt. Nowhere near his family or homeland or where he loved. It was a strange land, foreign land. But there he was in Egypt. You think Joseph ever thought, you know, why Egypt? Why am I here? You know what? God was doing something though. There was a reason he was in Egypt. There was a reason he was there. And in Genesis 37, verse 36, we see that he is sold into Potiphar's house. Do you think God had anything to do with that? Do you think that was part of God's plan? Certainly was. This allowed him to have a connection to Pharaoh now, the ruler of the land. There in Potiphar's house, he was a significant leader in Pharaoh's government and his kingdom. And this would play an important role in Joseph's life, in the plan that God had for him. And, you know, in the moment, it's easy to think, oh, this isn't going the way that it should. This isn't going the way that God wants it to go. And we can lose sight or lose faith that God is working things together to accomplish his plan. But here, he's in Potiphar's house, and there he gains a first-hand knowledge of the workings of the government, and that would play an important role later on in his life when he's the leader in the land, knowing all these things. And it's just an evidence of the providence of God working all these things, and really bad things that have happened to Joseph, God working those together to accomplish God's plan. In Genesis 39, verses 7 through 20, we see Joseph, he resists the temptation to do evil and chooses to do right, which results in going to prison. Shouldn't it be the opposite? When we do right, we get God's blessing and things go all just perfectly for us? Here he is doing right, choosing to please God with his life, and he ends up in prison. The providence of God. God had a plan and a purpose in that. You know, did prison have anything to do with God's plan? He may have been thinking, how is this? What's the purpose of this? It seems like that would be going backwards if you were Joseph, going to prison. But we see, and you can turn over to Genesis chapter 40, and you see here, when we look at the whole life of Joseph, we see God's hand in all of this. It was necessary for him to be in this place, and it prepared him for what God had to come. Genesis chapter 40 and verse 5, it says, here he is in prison with the butler and the chief baker of Pharaoh, who he put them in prison. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And we see as we read on that Joseph comes in and eventually he interprets these dreams. And the interpretations come true that Joseph interpreted. And this was through those dreams that he interpreted, the butler would one day remember Joseph. And the dreams that Pharaoh one day would have, the butler would remember that there was Joseph who was in prison and he could interpret those dreams. In Genesis 41, 14 through 15, we see him interpreting these dreams. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. The butler had told Pharaoh of Joseph. In verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, that phrase, I have heard say of thee. You know, if he wouldn't have been in prison with the butler, and with the baker, there's no way that Pharaoh would have ever known of Joseph. At least we see here that this was God's design, that he would hear, know of Joseph through being in prison. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Joseph goes on to interpret the dreams for Joseph, or for Pharaoh. And ultimately, this results in his exaltation all over the whole kingdom. Look at Genesis 41, verses 30, beginning in verse 39. He interprets the dream for Pharaoh, and we see Pharaoh promote, exalt Joseph. Verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto this word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Now we know the story of Joseph, but is it significant that he's a ruler in the land? Is it significant that here he is being promoted, being exalted by Pharaoh? Yes, it is. Continuing on. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. God was placing, in God's providence, he was placing Joseph in a position where he was able to continue to fulfill and accomplish God's plan. God uses the circumstances and the events of your life to fulfill the plan and purpose he has for your life. Joseph, there could have been many opportunities he could have given up on God. He could have said, what's the purpose? There's no reason. There's no rhyme or reason here. Nothing seems to be making sense. But we see that God was fulfilling and accomplishing his purpose and plan. You know, as we go through the story of Joseph's life, the story escalates as he interacts with his brethren. In chapters 42 through 45, we see this interaction he has with his brethren. At first, they have no idea who he is. And we see these dreams that he had coming true, where they are bowing down to Joseph. And can you imagine when Joseph realized these were his brethren? At first, he disguised himself. But you think it probably all started making sense in his mind. God is fulfilling his plan, the purpose that he had that was in those dreams. And we see eventually he reveals himself as their brother to them. It is here at this climactic event that Joseph's whole story comes into perspective and God's plan and purpose is revealed. Turn over to Genesis chapter 45. The verse we read in chapter 50 and verse 20 really is a summary of this passage in Genesis chapter 45. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And we see, secondly, here God's purpose being revealed for Joseph's life. Look with me in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Wow, what an amazing story. As the story unfolds, and of course there's a great famine that comes over really all the earth at that time. And what brought Joseph's family to Egypt was that famine. And obviously that was all part of God's plan. And God sent Joseph to Egypt through his brethren, to preserve life. God's plan for Joseph's life was to save much people alive. For God did send me before you to preserve life. The severe famine throughout Egypt and the world caused everyone to come into Egypt to find food to live. God had used Joseph to prepare for the famine, and there was as a result, to preserve his family and much people. Notice those in verse 5, it says, "For God did send me before you." In verse 7 and verse 8, we see God sent me before you to preserve you. The providence of God, the protective care of God. It wasn't a mistake for Joseph to go to Egypt. It was all part of God's design. And certainly it wasn't God's plan, or it wasn't God's will for the brethren to be upset and to be angry. But you know what? God used them and their wrong and weaved it together to accomplish his plan. Everything in Joseph's life had a purpose in accomplishing God's plan. Everything we've looked at here was just part of God's plan. It was just part of the puzzle. And God was working it all together to accomplish his plan. You know, as we think of the providence of God, it really highlights several attributes of God. And as we think of his providence, how can we not think about the omniscience of God? The fact that he is all-knowing. You know, we know very little. Our finite minds, very limited in what we can understand. But God, he is all-knowing. He knows everything. And as you think of the providence of God and in the life of Joseph, you see this powerful demonstration of God's wisdom and his knowledge. You know, if we would have orchestrated it, and we wouldn't have done it that way. In Joseph's situation, he would have thought, you know, this isn't going to turn out good. But God, in his omniscience, he knew and he understood everything. He knows what is best and what is necessary to accomplish his plan. He knows what is best for your life, for your situation. And we tonight need to understand God's all-knowing. And we can trust in him. We can confide in his wisdom, in his infinite knowledge. And even if it looks humanly impossible, we can understand and know that God is in control. His providence, his protective care is there. We also see his omnipotence. He's all-powerful. Here he was, Pharaoh. That's probably the strongest person in the land, in the world. Powerful, most powerful man. But that was no match for Pharaoh, or for Joseph, and for God. God was in control, and he worked everything together. There is nothing too hard for God, or outside of his control. Maybe you've gone through a circumstance, or in a setting, where it seems this is out of control. We don't see God's hand in it, or it's outside. He's lost control. It may seem like humanly, but you know what? God is all powerful. He is in control. He has everything in his hands and in his control. But I think in this aspect of the providence of God, we also see God's love demonstrated. You know, Joseph probably wished that something else could have happened. It could have been done a different way. But you know what? Really, God was evidencing his love to preserve and to care for and really to do what was best. We see here the mercy of God in preserving this family, this line, important family, important line, heritage. So the attributes of God and who... The providence of God, we have to remember and reflect upon who God is. And remember that he's the one that's in control. Not man. You know, man is really so little in control. You know, God uses man. But when you stop and think about it, God was working everything together. He was using man to accomplish his plan. So tonight we need to recognize the God that we serve, the God of heaven that's in control. and who cares for his people. You know, we never see, at least here in the Word of God, we never see Joseph questioning or doubting God. Or why did this happen to me? Why did God allow this? He demonstrated the right understanding, a proper view, a proper understanding of God's providence, of God's working in his life. And I want us to wrap up this message, these thoughts, with several truths that we need to have with the that are a proper view of the providence of God. And as we see it demonstrated in the life of Joseph, you know, there are no mistakes with God. There are no mistakes with God. Now, for, of course, at times, humanly, that just doesn't seem to work together and fit in with the things we go through. But you know, there are no mistakes with God. Certainly, man sins, man does wrong, but you know what? God is in control. There are no mistakes with God. Nothing happens by accident. The things you go through in your life, the trials, the circumstances, the difficulties, they're not by accident. They're not a mistake in God's sight. And again, nothing happens outside of God's control. I mean, we could give so many examples here tonight. And from a human standpoint, we think, you know, that was not the best thing. That shouldn't have happened. And maybe so, but you know, God is able to take those things and accomplish his plan and his purpose. And if we're going to have the right view of the providence of God, of his care, his protective care in our life, we need to come to that acknowledgement that, you know, there are no mistakes with God. There are no accidents with God. He allowed that. He was in control of it and is in control of it. First of all, there is no mistakes with God. And we really need to let that sink in because, you know, there's going to come times or maybe there's something we're facing where we're going to really doubt God or question. But you know, we have to trust in him. We have to put our confidence in him that he is in control. But secondly, God, the right view of the providence of God, God can take the bad and turn it into good. That verse in Genesis chapter 50, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Wow. Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we cannot fully understand and comprehend the working of God. But that's the truth. Ye meant it for evil. His brethren, they wanted to kill him. They had only evil intentions. But God meant it for good. Wow. When you just think about Joseph's brethren and everything that they were seeking to do to him. I mean, they wanted to destroy him. Thankfully, I think it was Reuben wanted to spare his life and not kill him. And it resulted in him being sold. But you know, they had evil thoughts towards him. It was a wicked situation. But God took the bad and turned it into good. We can't help but think of a New Testament promise in Romans chapter 8. And you can turn over there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. A New Testament promise for those that love God. For those that love the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Look at this verse with me. It's familiar for many, I'm sure. But it will be an encouragement for us tonight. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, things don't work out well for everyone. But it works out well for the righteous. It works out well for those that do right. For those that love God. For the wicked, it doesn't work out well. And we'll look at a couple verses here in a moment to contrast this. But we know that all things work together for good. What's that situation in your life that humanly seems bad? That humanly seems like this was not what God, or not what should have happened. God, for those that love Him, He can make the bad turn to good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 3. Proverbs 10 and verse 3. I want to look at a couple verses here in Proverbs. For those that fear God, for those that are righteous, the end is good. God works it together for good and accomplishes something good in it. Proverbs 10 and verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but He casteth away the substance of the wicked. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Look at one more verse in Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 6. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Psalms 1 and verse 6. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If we're God's children tonight, if we love Him, if we are seeking to serve Him and live for Him, you know what? God will work everything together for good. We know that all things work together for good. That's a promise of God to them that love Him. A third truth here about a proper view of the providence of God is that someday it will all make sense. Someday it will all make sense. Do you think Joseph in prison, do you think it all made sense to him? Unless somehow God had given him knowledge of everything that was going to happen. I don't think so. He had to trust God. God had given him those dreams. He probably had some sense of what that meant. But here he is in prison. How does this fit into God's plan? But you know what? At the end of his story, we see Joseph understood what God's plan was. It all made sense. And someday it will all make sense. Maybe that trial that you went through, and maybe still today you're wondering, why did God allow that? Maybe a death. Maybe a difficult health trial or challenge. Someday it will all make sense. When God's plan is accomplished, it will all make sense. You know, we don't often see the whole picture, but someday we will. Sometimes we see what God is doing, but sometimes it might not be until heaven that we understand what God was doing. You know what? We have to just trust in that. We might not fully see what God is accomplishing or what His plan is, but someday we will. God may give us insight in this life to know why that happened. And we could see, yes, this is what God was doing. But you know what? It might not be till glory, till heaven, that we understand all that God was doing. You know, it takes faith to trust God. You know, it's a wonderful thing here in Joseph's life. We see the beginning to the end. We see the whole picture. And it makes sense. But you know what? We have to often trust God. We have to put our faith in Him and that God knows. We might not see how it all works out, but God knows. And we see the end of Joseph's life and it all makes sense. We bow to the infinite wisdom of God and realize He had it all planned. And I've alluded to this, but think of your life as a puzzle with many different pieces. You know what? God, He knows the whole picture. He understands what it's all supposed to look like. But all these events, these circumstances, these small pieces of our life, God is putting it together to make something beautiful, to fulfill His purpose and plan. And our life is made up of all these different events, these circumstances, trials, difficulties. But we need to remember that God is putting it all together to accomplish His plan. And we have to trust Him. You know, tonight, how can you apply this to your life? How can you relate your life to the providence of God? You know what? Whether we understand it or not, God's watching out for us. His protective care. He's seeking our best. And He's using our life to accomplish His plan for us as God's children. Tonight, you need to accept what God is doing or allowing in your life, knowing He has a plan for your life. We need to accept it. We need to confide in His infinite wisdom. And remember, there are no mistakes with God. There are no mistakes with God. We need to trust Him tonight. Are you doubting God in some area? Are you doubting about some circumstance or some event in your life and you're doubting, you're questioning God? Trust Him tonight. Have faith in Him. Renew that faith, that confidence in God here tonight. And then another simple way that you can apply this is, you know, let your life accomplish all that God has in store. Don't shortchange God. You know what? Don't use those things that He allows into your life and doubt Him and run from it or turn from it. You know, just trust that God is working that together and using it to accomplish His plan. You know, there can be big events in life where we really have to trust the providence of God. But you know what? Even day to day, we have to trust in God. I thought of, even recently, several examples. You know, Pastor and Mrs. Roberts were in South Africa. They were going to head up to Kenya, and their flight gets delayed. Do you think the providence of God is involved in that? Absolutely. And we can question, oh, man, why did that happen? But you know what? God had a purpose. He had a plan in that. I thought of the Griffins. They were planning to go out to California earlier. But you know what? God changed all that. Why? I don't know exactly. But God has a plan. He has a purpose. And even the day-to-day events of life, we need to recognize God's hand in it all. And tonight, maybe you need to just recommit to trusting God in that challenge, that difficult, that circumstance you're facing. And remembering that, you know, God has a plan. I can't see it all right now, but He has a plan that He is working and accomplishing with my life. Let your life accomplish all that God wants it to. You know, thinking of Joseph's life, you know, he allowed God, and the things that God allowed into his life, he realized were accomplishing His purpose and His plan. You know, there could have been many opportunities to go his own way, to do his own thing, to run from that trial, to run from that circumstance. But no, he let God work it all together for good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we tonight rejoice in your infinite wisdom, in your providence, your protective care. And certainly as your children here tonight, we have all experienced your hand and your protective care, your providence in our lives. And Lord, tonight we need to rest in that as again, that you are working and accomplishing something in our life. And like Joseph, we will come to the end of our life or come to the end of a trial or a circumstance, and we will realize that you had a divine plan and purpose. And Lord, tonight we need to just rest in that. Lord, maybe there's someone that's going through a difficult circumstance or trial, and tonight they just need to be reassured that you have a plan. You have a purpose. You are working together everything to accomplish your plan. And even though it may be evil or bad circumstances that happen to us, you can turn those things into good and accomplish your plan. Oh Lord, I pray that you would just use this truth in your people here tonight. I pray if there's definite decisions that someone needs to make to just trust in you tonight, that they would do that. Lord, may they not trust in their own wisdom, in their own understanding. May they acknowledge you, Lord, in your plan and trust you. Maybe there's someone that's doubting. Lord, would you help them tonight to recognize that you are all powerful, that you are all knowing. And it's foolish for them to go their own way, to trust in their way, Lord. Maybe somebody just needs to give it all to you tonight, Lord, and realize all these things that have happened are for your plan and for your purpose. So, Lord, use these truths in our lives here tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.